This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for your questions. Thank you for your topics of interest. You can email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. We also take your questions at that email for weekly Q&A with Layla that Dr. Hoffman and I do on a weekly basis. Generally, those are uploaded on a Wednesday at drhoffman.com. And my weekly podcast, where I'm weighing in on various topics, is uploaded generally on a Friday. I hope that your summer is going well. I think it always goes too quickly. But there it is. So I want to talk to you about some interesting research here. Here's actually a clinical update. Use of this common biomarker may overestimate B12 deficiency in certain patients. It's well established in medical literature that people who have B12 levels that fall within the normal range for serum may actually have a functional B12 deficiency. Now, let me talk a little bit before I even go any further. This is something I see a lot amongst our patients. A normal range for B12 on a lab, any given lab range, we normally see anywhere between, 200 and 600 or 900, something like that. Well, guess what? 200 is way too low. We want to see a B12 level of at least 600 for it to be beneficial. So, and of course, 900 and above, that's all well and good, especially if there are neurological issues, which I'm going to talk about now in a minute. B12 is very important for neurological function, for energy. So, people that have B12 levels that fall within the normal range may actually have a functional B12 deficiency. And I see this over and over again. Somebody will bring me their lab results from their primary care, here to see me for a nutrition consultation. I have no energy and everything, and I see that they have a B12 level of, 220. That is quite low. And of course, I look for other deficiencies. I look for deficiencies in other critical nutrients like magnesium, vitamin B6, I look for folate, I look for vitamin D, I look at their diet, I look at everything else they're doing. Certainly that's all part of my an assessment that I would do. So coming back to functional B12 deficiency here, a functional B12 deficiency is typically diagnosed via elevated levels of a metabolite in urine called MMA. Also known as methylmalonic acid. And I know that when Dr. Hoffman is scrutinizing B12 levels, he often will order at the same time a methylmalonic acid. Okay. So in this study, researchers found that impaired kidney function, as indicated by glomerular filtration rate, can also result in high levels of MMA in urine. therefore complicating the diagnosis of B12 deficiency. So any of you practitioners out there, if you're looking at methylmalonic acid, if you're looking at B12 levels, you will, especially in an MMA reading, you know, you want to rule out first that the person doesn't have any chronic kidney disease or compromised renal function or anything like that, because it can result in higher levels of this very important metabolite, which can tell us if there's a functional B12 deficiency or not. The researchers collected data on 2,906 patients for B12 concentrations in blood, kidney function, and the metabolite, MMA. They concluded that if they had not adjusted for kidney function when assessing MMA levels in the urine, B12 deficiency was overestimated by 40%, in contrast to underestimation of B12 deficiency when only looking at serum levels compared to MMA. Especially in the elderly, impaired kidney function, noted by low GFR levels, may make diagnosis of B12 deficiency via urine levels of MMA less accurate. And you know, you want to look at the elderly population because many suffer from fatigue. A reason could be a low B12. And that low B12 happens because as we get older, we have less and less intrinsic factor in the gut to help with the assimilation, the absorption of B12 from our food. You know, B12 is generally recycled in the body. So it's not necessarily like many of the other water-soluble B vitamins, but B12 can be recycled for a period of time. You know, a vegan, somebody who doesn't eat any animal protein at all, would not show a functional B12 deficiency for quite a long time before it actually shows up. It's not something that happens immediately, for example. So keep that in mind. And speaking of B12, that's one of the first things that's measured, especially in an elderly population, if there's any question about cognitive function. So B12 is looked at, any other micronutrient deficiencies are looked at. When it comes to cognitive function or mild cognitive impairment or anything like that, or if the question of possible Alzheimer's disease comes up, they look at B12 levels, they look for other micronutrient deficiencies, and guess what? You'll get a syphilis test. Syphilis can cause neurodegeneration that may mimic symptoms of cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's. And speaking of Alzheimer's, and by the way, just so you know, talking about this B12 and the MMA test, that came from the Annals of Clinical Biochemistry from January of this year, and it's called Improved Testing for B12 for Vitamin B12 Deficiency, Correcting MMA for Filtration Rate Values Reduces the Number of Patients Classified as Vitamin B12 Deficient. So always remember to look at kidney function when you're trying to assess B12 and MMA levels. Moving on to here, Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease risk impacted by the liver diet. So, reduced levels of plasmalogens, which is a class of lipids created in the liver that are integral to cell membranes in the brain, you know, like cholesterol. Reduced levels of plasmalogens are associated with an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease, according to new research presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference 2018 by Dr. Mitchell Kling, an associate professor of psychiatry in the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania and Veterans Affairs Medical Center. Plasmalogens are created in the liver and are dispersed through the bloodstream in the form of lipoproteins, cholesterol, which also transport cholesterol and other lipids to and from cells and tissues throughout the body, including the brain. Kling and the Multi-Institutional Alzheimer's Disease Metabolomics Consortium, led by others at Duke University School of Medicine, developed three indices for measuring the amount of these lipids related to cognition in order to identify whether reduced levels in the bloodstream are associated with an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease, also if it's associated with an increased risk of mild cognitive impairment, overall cognitive function, and or other biomarkers of neurodegeneration in Alzheimer's disease. The three indices measured are the ratios of plasmalogens to each other, the ratio of plasmalogens to their closely related, more conventional lipid counterparts, and a combination of these two quantities. So they're compared to themselves, the plasmalogens compared to other lipids like cholesterol, and then the combo of those two quantities. They measured several plasmalogens, including those containing omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, and EPA, as well as an omega-6 fatty acid and closely related non-plasmalogen lipids in blood-based fluids collected from two groups. The first group included 1,547 subjects that have Alzheimer's disease, mild cognitive impairment, or significant memory concerns, and subjects who are cognitively normal and who are enrolled in the Alzheimer's Disease Neuroimaging Initiative. The second included 112 subjects from the Penn Memory Center, including those with Alzheimer's, mild cognitive impairment, and who were cognitively normal. The team observed that lower values of these indices were associated with a higher likelihood of Alzheimer's disease. A similar pattern was seen with mild cognitive impairment and cognitively normal associations. Additionally, some of the decreased plasmalogen levels were correlated with increased risks of the tau protein in the brain, a marker of Alzheimer's disease. These tau proteins get tangled and they are found in cadavers of those who perish from Alzheimer's disease. Quote, this research shows that an age-related deficiency of plasmalogens could lead to an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease because the liver cannot make enough of them, says Dr. Kling, who is also a fellow of the Institute on Aging. This research has a variety of interesting implications. For example, it highlights a potential relationship between conditions such as obesity and diabetes and Alzheimer's, as the liver has to work harder to break down fatty acids over time. This could lead to the eventual destruction of the peroxisomes that create plasmalogens, which thus increases the risk for Alzheimer's. So, yeah, the potential relationship between conditions like obesity, diabetes, and Alzheimer's, I almost want to call it the same disease. We have the twin epidemics of obesity and diabetes, which we like to call diabesity. And now we have a type 3 diabetes, also known as Alzheimer's disease. So the findings also provide a possible explanation for the observed lack of effect of fish oil or DHA administration on cognitive function or Alzheimer's disease, which has been shown in other studies, because you need those lipoproteins to also carry out these very, very beneficial fats. This is due to the defect in the liver that prevents these fatty acids from becoming incorporated into the plasmalogens that are critical for synaptic function in the brain, which can affect cognition. Several of the genes associated with Alzheimer's are involved in lipid transport or metabolism. Therefore, ongoing research is looking to see how changes in the production or transport of lipids affect brain structure and function. These findings provide renewed hope for the creation of new treatment and prevention approaches for Alzheimer's disease. Moving forward, they're examining the connections between plasmalogens, other lipids, and cognition, in addition to gene expression in the liver and the brain. While they're in the early stages of discovering how the liver, lipids, and diet are related to Alzheimer's disease and neurodegeneration, it's been promising. This is from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. Now, plasmalogens, cholesterol, you've heard me say, if you have a very low cholesterol, that's actually a risk factor for cognitive impairment, for even changes in your mood, like aggression, violence, depression, suicide. We need these beneficial phospholipids, these lipids. We need the benefits of EPA and DHA. We need the benefits of a ketogenic diet. We need the benefits of medium-chain triglycerides that the liver can use readily for energy and to enhance ketosis on a ketogenic diet. The brain likes ketones. The brain likes ketones better than glucose. Yes, that's what I said. Now, moving along down the life, across the life cycle here, from older age to younger age, I was just speaking of the benefits of DHA, EPA. Omega-3s could help kids reduce disruptive behavior. And that's what I just said about these beneficial fatty acids and mood and cognitive function and all of that. Depression, anxiety, violence, aggression. I think we have a pandemic of low essential fatty acids in the country. That may explain a lot of how people get aggravated more easily. There's more road rage. There are more people with short tempers that didn't have short tempers before. Check your diet. Eat more clean fish with beneficial DHA like salmon, sardines. Go easy on the tuna because we're afraid of mercury. Anyway, coming back to this, omega-3s could help kids reduce disruptive behavior. Omega-3 supplementation could reduce disruptive, even abusive behavior in children, according to newly released research by UMass Lowell, which is a U.S. national research university. This is a promising line of research because omega-3 fatty acids are thought to improve brain health in children and adults. That's right. So, and this is a quote from Jill Portnoy, who's an assistant professor in UMass Lowell School of Criminology and Justice Studies. There is more to be learned about the benefits, But if we can improve people's brain health and behavior in the process, that's a really big plus. According to the new research published in the scholarly journal Aggressive Behavior, hey, I didn't know there was a journal called Aggressive Behavior. Giving children omega-3 fatty acid supplements reduces disruptive behavior, which in turn had a positive effect on their parents. Parents feel better when their kids aren't misbehaving, right? So this has a positive effect on parents, making them less likely to argue with each other and engage in other verbal abuse. It's kind of like stating the obvious, isn't it? So in this randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, stratified, parallel group trial, wow, that was a mouthful, a community sample of children were randomized to receive either a fruit drink containing 1 gram of omega-3 fats or the same fruit drink without omega-3. Child participants, adult caregivers, and research staff were blinded to group assignment, according to the research. Now, you know this is the gold standard. Randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, even the people who took part, who gave the particular variable, the supplement, they were blinded as well. So, the result of the study is the first to show that omega-3 supplementation in children can reduce interpartner psychological aggression among adult caregivers not receiving supplements. So, this new study is just one example of how the authors are studying biological and social factors that can help explain and predict impulsive and risky behavior. The goal is to help determine effective ways to intervene before antisocial behavior escalates into crime. Biology and social environment interact in complex ways that we're just beginning to figure out. Interesting stuff. Now, given all that, and the research showing the benefits of omega-3s, cholesterol is also important, and with now the ever-increasing incidence of people put on statins, I have to wonder what it's doing to their brain function, their mood. So, much to think about, food for thought here. I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.